Welcome, Truth Seekers, back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com, drafted into duty to be the media this week, pulled out from my little office, my smoky little office, to talk on the microphone. And, of course, I've taken it upon myself to try to save America before the Malloys get back on Monday. I think that would be a great gift, don't you? They are, of course, out cruising the Caribbean or the Caribbean. I say, Tony, they are cruising the Caribbean. They're out there. They are. They're out cruising the Caribbean. They're having a great time with the other progressives on the boat. We were not invited. Me? Bitter? What? Maybe. All right, we're going to be taking your calls in a bit as well at 877-520-1150. John Fugelsang is going, the great John Fugelsang is going to be joining me momentarily, but 877-520-1150 is our phone number. If you would like to get in on the conversation, any of the things we talked about in that last hour, I suspect we're still going to be talking about it, still going to be talking about the convoy, still going to be talking about how to awaken the sleepers in this country. How to undo the big lie that the mainstream corporate media has put on all of us, has made all of Americans, you know, believe that these Republicans are conservative when they're not. They're corporatists. You can also come on by the chat room at bradblog.com and say hello there. Some great folks in there who came up with some really great ideas last night as we were talking about all of this. And I'm going to read some of those a little bit later. And I can be Twittered if you like. And it sounds kind of hot. Over on the Twitters at the Brad Blog. Okay, I'm now joined by John Fugelsang, who is a New York and L.A.-based comedian, TV and radio personality, performer and writer, contributor to CNN, Fox News, CNBC, NPR, Air America Radio. Remember them? Yeah. Fox News Radio. He's, of course, a regular on Progressive Talk's The Stephanie Miller Show, which broadcasts from this very studio each and every morning, from this chair, that's right, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time each day. And he is also, he's there with Stephanie every Friday, and, of course, he is a frequent guest host on her show, and I'm delighted that he now joins us tonight on the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, John, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Brad, how am I ever going to measure up? How am I going to wake people up out of the matrix when you're giving me introductions like that?
Well, you know what? You deserve it. I got even nicer ones for you about you being, frankly, I called you a comedian philosopher. That's,
yes, I know. I'm glad your standards are that low now, Brad. It's
they
really
are.
An honor to
they are.
To that circle.
I got nothing.
I love hearing you hosting Malloy. I'm a big fan, a longtime fan, and you actually had the greatest quote on a website anybody's ever had.
Uh-oh.
When Senator-elect Al Franken gave his quote for your site, for the Brad blog.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right.
Tell the folks what Franken said about you asked Franken for a quote for your blog, and what did he say?
Something like a blog by some guy named Brad or something like that. I can't.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very he didn't like me much back then. I wasn't crazy about him. I like him a lot more as a senator than I did as a radio guy.
Interesting. I think I do too as well.
Yeah.
He's really becoming one of our heroes. We really, you know, we lost Feingold, but we got this guy, and I hope we're going to have him around for decades.
Well, you know what? He's actually a real progressive. He's standing up for real progressive values. And when he was on the radio, he was the only guy. I think he was the only guy on Air America whose show I was not on to talk about election integrity and the problems that we still to this day have with electronic voting. He sort of poo-pooed the whole thing, and so I was not crazy about him. But I got to say, no. Now that he's in the Senate, he's doing a hell of a good job.
Well, I'll tell you, I love Air America, and I miss Air America. And
yeah.
I thought his show as a comedian, I mm-hmm. really admired what he did with the show creatively.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the problems I had with Air America back during 2004, during the election with John Kerry, was I think it stopped being, in some areas, some quarters, not all the broadcasters, but some stopped being liberal and began being Democrat.
Yes.
And I think that then it just became, much like how I don't consider Fox News to be conservative, I consider it to be pro-Republican, you know, or corporatist.
Yeah.
I think you actually have more real conservatives at MSNBC embodied in Buchanan and Scarborough than you do at Fox, which is all neocons and corporate guys.
Oh, yeah. It's a sham. It's a fraud. And I mean, everybody
and
knows.
I do want to say I love Fox. I watch Fox every day, and I have a DirecTV satellite, so I get it in the original German. So I am a fan.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, you know what? Me too. It's entertaining, but so is porn, and so is throwing Christians to the lions. That always got big crowds.
Porn's not bad for you, like Fox. But you know what?
Yeah.
The fact is, this is the reality, and this is where millions of your friends and loved ones and coworkers are being fed their Frank Luntz talking points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're going to get along with these people, if you're going to be a functioning progressive in society, I mean, if you go around shaking people and telling them they're asleep and they're in the Matrix, they're going to think you're crazy, and they're going to go back and get their IV hookup of your right drug from Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Fox's mandate is to tell people who are wrong about everything, from Clinton's impeachment right up through bailing out Detroit, you know, you were right. People who were wrong about everything were right about everything. And they're very good at it. You'll never go broke telling people who've been wrong a lot that they're right. And rich people pay Fox people to make middle-class people blame poor people.
And you know what? And that's the thing. And because I hear, and I don't know if you got to hear any of the previous hour, but it really...
I did with you with the Teddy Roosevelt stuff. You're exactly right about that. He would never join. He would love them for the imperialism, and he'd hate them for the how bought off they are in the environmentalism.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. I'm not sure how much. The global imperialism, but not the corporatism. I mean, he broke up the trusts. He broke up the big, the too big to fail corporations. And you know, there's nobody in there doing it. There's nobody. Not Barack Obama. Not the Democrats. None of them are saying, you know, these guys have gotten so big and so dangerous, and now the Supreme Court has allowed them to give all the money they want to do anything they want. I mean, this has just become insane, John. And, you know, so that's what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah, corporations are people, but they shouldn't pay taxes.
They shouldn't pay taxes. They don't. And they don't die. And they, you know, can never
They don't die, but they can screw you. And everybody listening to this radio show right now paid more in taxes than Exxon did last year.
That's it.
And, you know, one important point.
Because how much did they pay, John, last year?
That would be zero, Brad.
That's right.
That's
0%.
Right. Tell them what they
taxes.
Want, folks. That's another deficit.
That's it.
2012 will mark the 100-year anniversary of Theodore Roosevelt quitting the Republican Party out of disgust with the corporate corruption and running for the Progressive Party's nomination for president.
Mm-hmm.
Next year will be the 100th anniversary that, you know, one of their greatest presidents, one of the most fascinating characters in our history, quit the party over corporate corruption. And now it's 100 years on. And if we go around, you know, telling conservatives that they're sheep, they're going to be proven right. They're not going to want to listen to us. And so I'm always trying to find ways of how are you going to, you know, really reach them. Tomorrow I'm going up to Boston to co-host with Jay Severin for a few days, who is a hardcore right-wing. This guy's, you know, so right-wing. His show should be in German. But he's, you know, I'm very honored they've asked me up there. And it's like I'll go on Fox News any time, because even if you can't wake the person up out of the matrix you're trying to wake up, you might reach their kids or any bystanders who are listening, you know?
Yeah, no, and I think you can reach these people. I mean, as we saw yesterday with the Patriot Act vote, you had these Tea Party folks who said, yeah, you know what? I guess I have been running around for the past 2 years claiming that I believe in the Constitution. Maybe I should vote for the Constitution and against this huge government overreach that is the Patriot Act. And they joined Dennis Kucinich in saying, no, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I think these people... a lot of them can be reached. They have just been so desperately and cynically and evilly disinformed by the Fox Newses, by the Rush Limbaughs and Sean Hannitys and these guys who control our airwaves, 91% of the airwaves being this right-wing talk. I don't think these are stupid people. I think they are misinformed and disinformed people.
Well, John Kenneth Galbraith has a beautiful quote I'm sure your listeners will know, where, and I'm going to bastardize it now, but where he said the primary, the modern conservative is engaged in one of the oldest activities of man, finding virtue in selfishness.
Mm.
And, you know, that's sort of what it is. I mean, I'm coming at this from a really abnormally Christian background. I don't know if everyone knows, but I come from a very, very Catholic background. We used to have open casket reunions in my family. my mom is an ex-nun, and my father was an ex-Franciscan brother.
Right.
So I grew up admiring Jesus the way any guy admires mom's first husband. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you know, these guys are trying to be the party of capitalism and the party of Jesus. And we don't even have capitalism anymore. We have a system of cronyism now that would make Ayn Rand join the Teamsters.
Right.
And as far as the Jesus thing, the Republican Party would never even – Jesus wouldn't even make it to the Iowa caucus if he ran for president on the Republican. Jesus, this guy that these guys have as their mascot, was a peaceful, radical, nonviolent revolutionary who hung out with lepers, hookers, and crooks, who never spoke English, was not an American citizen, was anti-capitalism, anti-death penalty, mm-hmm. anti-public prayer, that's mm-hmm. Matthew 6:5.
Yep.
Never once anti-gay, didn't mention abortion, didn't mention premarital sex, and was a long-haired, brown-skinned, it's in Revelations, homeless, Middle Eastern Jew. Okay, that's their mascot.
Yeah.
And that guy couldn't get a job at House of Pancakes, much less the GOP.
He could. Jesus, not only could Jesus not be nominated by the GOP, there's this other guy who could also not be nominated by today's GOP, a guy by the name of Ronald Reagan.
Indeed.
He would be run out of town as a pinko commie liberal. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, talking with John Fugelsang. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 877-520-1150. We'd love to hear from you. Much more straight ahead.
It's bad, you know.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop.
Yeah, some Helter Skelter. Brad Friedman in for the Mike Malloy Show. It's 22 minutes after the hour. Glad you could join us tonight. We're here all night long, and we're speaking with the great comedian slash philosopher. And if you don't get his Twitter feed, you should, because it's some really smart stuff. You can Twitter him at John Fugelsang. Yes, John Fugelsang himself joins us for the hour here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Malloy. Our phone numbers, if you want to get in on the conversation, 877-520-1150. Talking about the big picture stuff. And, John, you know, I cover at Brad Blog, I cover those big picture issues. The, you know, democracy, election integrity, media reform, corporatism, all of these things seem to me to be the things we need to focus on rather than those, you know, the Sarah Palins. Whoa, what did Michelle Bachmann say today? Doesn't that seem like just a great distraction from what really matters in this country, or is it
well,
just me?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, one of the things is Billy Wilder said, if you're going to tell people the truth, make them laugh or they'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And, and you know, as a comedian who's hung up on political matters, I mean, my parents were my dad was a Franciscan, and he was a history teacher, so he was very passionate about American history, and there were pictures of Gandhi and Dr. King all over my house growing up, and my mother calls stand-up comedy a ministry. She thinks that real artists are, you know, on a ministry and mm-hmm. then serving their community. And I find that, you know, the jokes are the lube for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And a good laugh is the delivery system for a little nugget of truth where you can. And so, you know, I like Sarah Palin. I like what she represents. I have to say to all the liberals listening, if you guys scare Sarah Palin out of running in 2012, I will never forgive you. So many of us are because the only people who want Sarah Palin to run are the really gullible conservatives, the really smart liberals, and all the comedians. And we're the ones who really want it to happen. And I know that it's a distraction from the main thing, but if a larger point can be made out of focusing on Sarah Palin, I think she's invaluable because people care about her. Everyone has an opinion on her, and uh-huh. no one likes her more than MSNBC. She's great for ratings.
Well, listen, focus is one thing. Obsession is another. And I agree, you know, that people, what you do, what Stephanie does in the morning, frankly, what folks like Media Matters do in calling these people out, in exposing them for the liars and the hypocrites degenerates and the dopes that they are. That must be done. But in so many ways, it seems to me that this has become the obsession that we spend each day in the progressive blogosphere, in the progressive media, such that there is one, obsessing on this stuff, saying, ha-ha, aren't they funny?
Oh, yeah, but, that's a very human failing. And it's in an area where liberals are a lot like conservatives, where we make the mistake of actually, letting ourselves hate them instead of letting ourselves use them.
Mm-hmm.
When people get hung up over Sarah Palin's kids, they should be completely off limits, because not because it's unfair. I mean, give me a break, unfair. Bristol Palin is someone who gets paid 20. She's an unwed teen mother who gets paid 20 grand to preach abstinence. Okay, so the family's horrible. But when we talk about them, we're not talking about policy. We're talking about people we don't like. Sarah Palin can be used mm-hmm. by the sane, aware community, because eyeballs go there, ears go there. Everyone has an opinion about her. Half the people who hate her are conservatives. Keep that in mind. Republicans really hate her, and that can be really, really valuable when you're trying to, wake people up. So if we focus on Sarah Palin from a policy point of view, mm-hmm. I think that she can actually be a case where celebrity can be useful.
It can be. So I don't want to overstate the case, but I think that maybe I'm not making it well, that, there is an obsession with that Democrats and progressives seem to be reactionary instead of taking action, instead of doing something, to stop the wars, to put people before profits.
The Democrats are they're like an S&M, dominance submissive slave who forgot his safety word. I mean, it's just so sad. It's like the parties, half the time, it's like Clark Kent without a phone booth. And if people wanted a very, very nice, likable punching bag for president, John Kerry would be enjoying a second term right now. The Democrats need to be helped. I want Chastity Bono to join the party and teach them how to be a man.
But it's not just the Democrats. It is the progressives. It's the progressive rank and file who get so obsessed with this stuff that we forget. Oh yeah, we got a guy in the Supreme Court who has lied about his financial disclosure for the past 20 years. Why aren't they ringing the Supreme Court with their convoy, their 18 wheelers? Saying enough is enough. Listen, John, I got to get to a break. Our phones are filling up like crazy. If you could stick around.
I have a response to that when we come back.
All right, good. 877-520-1150. Firing up the convoy here tonight on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in. Oh, and by the way, John, be careful what you wish for. I know how these voting machines work. I know you want Sarah Palin to get the nomination. Be careful what you wish for. Brad in from Malloy. A whole lot more straight ahead.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Yeah, we do.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling log.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Here comes convoy, ladies and gentlemen. Brad Friedman for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com in all night long. Firing up the convoy, and that's a reference to our caller last night, Will from Tennessee, who said we had helped awaken the sleeper, at least in him. And then we started hearing from truck drivers all over the country, and they were awakened, too. We continue, I hope, the awakening tonight with John Fugelsang, comedian, philosopher, and all-around hell of a nice guy. He's with us, and we're going to get to your calls, 877-520-1150. But, John, I had promised that we would, I had made the point that we need to get that convoy out and surround the Supreme Court until they run that criminal out. You had a comment you wanted to make.
I'd like to point out that musically, Brad, you just went from Helter Skelter to We Got a Great Big Convoy.
Thank you for noticing.
I just want people to notice the fall of man that just took place there.
Thank you for noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know Tony, of course. He's my engineer, because I know he engineers for you when you sit in for Steph. And well, let's just blame Tony.
I love Tony. I wish I could quit him. We've taken many a fishing vacation and never opened the tackle box.
Is that right? I had no idea.
I'm doing my Brokeback Mountain impression.
I can see that.
How you doing, Tony?
he's very unhappy right now.
Yeah.
He just well, because you know he never. You got a comment? No, you can't get him to talk. Apparently, you got him to talk when you were on the air.
I tried to get him to talk when I was on the air. It was like getting John Entwistle of The Who to talk.
Yeah, I know.
Even after he's dead.
I know, but then when he's off the air, try getting him to shut up.
He won't shut
I'm
up.
I'm just
at
saying.
All.
I know.
It's crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
You're in Stephanie Miller's actual studio right now, huh?
I am indeed. Yeah.
Just so you know, she keeps she hides some Quaaludes up on top of the door molding.
Is that where they are?
She has them all from the 80s. Stephanie got them.
Is that
where they all went?
Okay, good to know. Good to know. I'll be going through her drawers later. Now,
that's great. This won't come back to haunt me on her show.
Did you? It will. Did you? Clarence Thomas, as I detailed in great detail, is a criminal. 20 years of breaking the law on these financial disclosure forms, up to a year in jail for each such instance, and yet we're all walking around like, oh, it doesn't matter. Can you imagine had this been a Democratic appointee who had been hiding hundreds of thousands of dollars received from Acorn, John?
He's a criminal for legislatively sodomizing the office of Thurgood Marshall. I mean, but this goes back to what we were talking about before. What does the media focus on? His wacky wife.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we hear, that you know, he's married to this crazy woman who should be walking around wearing a surgical mask or something. I mean, we hear all about how Ginny Thomas calls Anita Hill, where we should be hearing about, 600,000 dead Iraqis who want to call Ginny Thomas to make her husband apologize for the Iraq war and for putting him in office. But, I mean, no one – you're carrying a lot of stories about what's going on with Clarence Thomas and his malfeasance, but I'm not seeing any of this in the liberal media.
Nope.
Well, liberal media is really letting me down.
You know, I was going to say, when you find that liberal media, let me know where it is. But no, you're right. Even on MSNBC, they're not covering
it.
And
again, this ties back directly to what we were talking about before. Let me give you a Christian example. Last November, the Pope came out in 1 week and said that every nation has a moral responsibility to provide health care for all their citizens, regardless of their ability to pay. That every country had a moral responsibility to do this. And in the same week, the Pope also said that in some cases, it was okay to use condoms. Now, Brad, which story got all the airplay?
Of course. Of course, the condoms. The condoms, of course. The Pope and condoms. And the other thing, well, let's not even talk about that, despite the fact that we've got the largest, health care bill in the history of this nation working its way to the Supreme Court, where the criminal Clarence Thomas sits. And you're right, they want to talk about the condoms. I mean, this is the problem. John, what do we do about it? How do we fix this mess?
Well, my point of view is not very popular, but I think that God's in charge and all empires must collapse. I don't really know if we can do anything about it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't stop trying. We have to work every day and strive to make our country and our society and communities a better place. But on some level, we are Rome with better plumbing. And, Pat Buchanan wrote a book called A Republic, Not an Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really all that upset about this. We're in for some decades of hardship, but I think in the long run, I'd like America to stop being the empire of the world. I think the empire scales back is a very good theme for the next couple of decades. And, I don't view it as a bad thing that China's going to run the world. I say let us get back to being a country again, because isn't England a lot more likable now that they're not running the planet anymore? They're terrific. Just think how likable America will be again when China's the big bad guy.
Well, you know what? You're right, and your point of view may not be popular out in the world at large. I don't know, because I'm sure most people don't understand it, but it's very popular here on the Malloy Show.
Well, yeah, my point of view is that America's got to stop being an empire and go back to being a constitutional democratic republic. That should satisfy all clubs. It's not that radical an idea, but of course we can't admit we're an empire. We're the country that invented comic books, so we call ourselves the world's last remaining superpower.
Well done. Let's get some calls. You want to take some calls?
Take them.
Jimmy in Youngstown, speaking of God, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Jimmy.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you, sir? You got a question for John Fugelsang or myself?
Well, basically, it's just a comment.
Right.
I guess it's a question. I know from hearing John on Stephanie, he has a good scriptural background.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering when he thinks that the Republican Party actually hijacked the church.
Good question. When did that happen?
I wouldn't say the Republican Party. I would say the conservative element in all of humanity has always hijacked the church. The power structure, I think it began when the Roman Empire realized that this little cult in their midst had gotten bigger than their own religion, and they had to co-opt it for themselves. That's why we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, because that was the feast of the Roman god Mithra. You know, in many ways, Christianity is a lot like the Republican Party. If you look at Lincoln and Jesus, both of them had their operations taken over by the guys who killed him. In the case of Jesus, it was the Roman Empire. Yeah. And in the case of Lincoln, it was the conservative, white racist Southerners. And, you know, that's not to be a blanket condemnation of conservatives at all, but mm-hmm. in terms of using Jesus to further your own dark ends, that's as old as religion.
Yeah, and you know what? And thanks for the call, Jimmy. Those folks down there in the South you're talking about, again, they're not conservative. They're just not conservative. They are right-wingers.
What does it even mean anymore? You know, like, liberal and conservative are two words I'd love to ban from the language. Dodgeball team names.
I have no idea, frankly, what liberal means, but I know what conservative means, frankly. I do. And it goes back to, of course, to, you know, the way the laws are interpreted and the Constitution is interpreted and so forth. I know what conservatism means, and I know that it, you know, means a conservative interpretation of the Constitution, and I know that the Constitution says equal protection for all. So when I see these racists down in the South who don't want to give equal protection under the law for all, I'm not going to give them the gift of calling them conservative.
Well, that's why I'm a fan of talking about what the word really means, too. The last Republican president to balance a budget was Nixon, okay? Mm-hmm. But Bill Clinton was pretty good at balancing budgets.
Yep.
He got it done. To me, that makes Bill Clinton a responsible conservative.
Yes.
And, you know, when I talk about separation of church and state, I'm the conservative on that issue because that's how the founders wanted it.
Yep.
If you're against the death penalty, you're a conservative Christian because Jesus was opposed to killing sinners.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times I think we're all liberal and conservative in some areas, mm-hmm. every one of us, you know,
right.
the sane people. We all have things we're conservative, we're all trying to grow all the time and open our minds and open our hearts. And conservatives go through the same life spiritual struggles as liberals. Even if you're an atheist, you still grow as in your life. And you know, I think that we need to remind ourselves of the commonalities because we're only going to reach these people if we can just show them that we're human and that our logic and our values and spirituality that kind of are more based in reality than theirs are.
They're based in reality and they're based in the things that they believe in, but they have been told that we don't believe in those things. That, you know, that's the big lie when they're just misinformed and say that guys like you and me, oh, we're liberal, we hate God, we hate Jesus, we hate all that. You know, it's just utter nonsense.
That's why I think conservatives should have been the ones fighting for a public option, you know? If you believe in capitalism, mm-hmm. if you believe in competition, like a public option competing with private insurance or cheaper Canadian drugs competing with our own to drive prices down, all the stuff they sell you in business school,
yep.
if you believe in that, if you're a capitalist, then why are you afraid of a public option? Why would you oppose it? If you want to save American lives, that's mm-hmm. why we went to Iraq to spend $1 billion a week throwing that down the hole, to save American lives, well, 45,000 Americans die every year because they're uninsured. And if you don't want to help the sick, then you don't get to call yourself a Christian anymore. And I, on the grounds of Christianity, patriotism, and conservative capitalism is exactly why the $127 billion shaved off the deficit from a public option.
Yep.
That's why the conservatives should have been the one leading this fight, and damn it, Brad, they could have gotten it passed. These Democrats are walking around in clown shoes.
That's right, and that's why they are not conservatives. Let's go to Craig in Napa Valley, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Craig, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. You're really blowing my mind here because there's like this, I almost feel like there's this wave of enlightenment going over the country here, because I hear people saying the same things I'm thinking, and you know, this concept of liberal and conservative. I'm not a liberal or a conservative. I'm both, and so are, you know, as most everybody else. You know, this distinction is something created by Washington politicians.
Yep.
Who, you know, I mean, Washington is like a country club, and you and I are not invited. And
yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's something I've figured out. Vices lead to failure, and virtues lead to success. Now, you know what the seven vices are, right?
Yes. I'm a big fan of about four of them.
Well, he does, but I'm a Jew, so I really don't know. But we don't have time for all of them.
Tell me any of the virtues.
Yeah.
How many?
How many virtues?
Faith, hope, and charity.
Okay, look, we've got vices. We have lust, gluttony, greed.
Craig, I got to have you get to your point because your phone's really bad. So give us one good punctuation mark here.
Pardon?
Give us one good punctuation mark because your phone's really bad and I got to move on.
Okay, well, anyway, the point is, virtues lead to success, and we need to concentrate on our virtues and on our common goals.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that call. And, yeah, you know, this right-left, red-blue, liberal-conservative, Republican-Democratic paradigm is a phony one, and it is, as I've said for years, it's just put in place to, you know, make it to balance an unlevel playing field for the bad guys.
In talking about these things,
yeah,
even though they're, you know, off the script a bit, and pointing out that our commonalities outweigh our differences, and a lot of what passes for conservative is not, is just recklessness, and a lot of what passes for liberal is often, you know, meanness or not liberal at all. And the more we can point out these differences, the more we can build bridges and awaken, since that's the theme of the evening, our Republican loved ones and coworkers and neighbors. And I think that, you know, that's the best hope we have.
Don't be a hater. Reach out to these people. They are just confused, most of them,
really,
anyway.
Let's be honest, there's a lot of douchebags out there.
Yeah.
And the problem with douchebaggery is it's contagious. And I know lots of liberal douchebags who I agree with on everything, but they're horrible people. And I know lots of conservatives who I agree with nothing, and they're lovely.
Yes.
So it's like we got to lead by example. And again, if you don't convince the right-wing douchebag, you might convince his wife or his kid or any bystanders.
We are speaking to right-wing douchebags across the country tonight here with John Fugelsang.
Don't be a left-wing douchebag.
Dan, don't be a douchebag at all. Brad, in for Mike Malloy, taking your calls at 877-520-1150. Our last segment with John coming up, so get in now, and then we'll hope to have some open phones tonight. All right, much more straight ahead. Stay with us. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, Rush. I'm taking back your song, too. I'm taking back the Pretenders for America. How do you like them apples, Rush? Oh, the guy in the chat room wanted Rush, the band? Oh, my mistake. Oh, never mind. Yeah. There you go. We're taking this. You like that, John? Did?
Yes, that makes up for going from Helter Skelter to Convoy.
There you go. We're speaking with John Fugelsang. You are listening to the Mike Malloy Show, not the Rush Limbaugh Show. I'm not even sure. Are they still on the air? Is he still?
Rush Limbaugh?
Maybe, yeah. Is he still? Did he?
Yes, he's still on the air, but it's pretty much he's kind of like devolved into an id with skin.
There you go. That's John Fugelsang, comedian, philosopher, writer, performer, author, all-around swell fellow. I am Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Mike, taking your calls, 877-520-1150. Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour, so this will have to be quick. Let's go to Dan in Glen Rock, New Jersey. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Dan, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brad. Hey, John.
Hey.
You know me from Facebook, I think.
You're his friend, so there you go.
That's the most sincere relationship adults can have now.
You might know Otis Gibson, but anyway, I wanted to know, if you were to write a book, what would you write about?
Me or Brad?
You, John.
I am writing a book, and it's about how to use the Bible when arguing with your psychotic fundamentalist right-wing Christian friends and loved ones.
Wow.
Yes.
And when can we look forward? Thanks for that call, Dan. When can we look forward to that book, John?
Putting you up for some airtime as soon as you can. As soon as I can give you an idea of that.
Okay.
We're still very much in the data collection phase, but it's coming along nicely, and the publishers are happy with its direction. So.
Sweet, you got a you got a title?
Yeah, but I'm not going to talk about it yet because it might still change.
All right.
But I'll be promoting it heavily in election year.
Very good. Okay, I'll just leave that right there. Estelle in Palm Springs, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's going on, Estelle?
Well, I have to tell you, Brad Freeman, and now John Fugelsang, how you're being perceived here by friends and family.
Uh-oh.
You guys are totally awesome. This is the best show I've heard, and I listen to a lot of shows.
Oh, thank you.
Call Brad's program director
and tell him.
Even in Palm Springs?
In Palm Springs and also Santa Barbara.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're so informed. You're so eloquent. You make the case, and you make it so logical and, not the least of it, entertaining. And that really is the catalyst.
I steal everything I say from Huffington Post, so I'm mostly celebrity gossip, but go on.
There you go.
Well, you're modest.
I don't read Huffington Post. I just write there, but I don't read there, so I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I really appreciate that, Estelle. Thanks.
Please keep it up, because you ought to be everywhere. You ought to be doing a TV show with this kind of wonderful commentary that you do, because it's motivating, and that's the point.
You're great, Estelle. Thank you very much, and I'll be heading out to Palm Springs, I think, in a couple of days as I'm heading towards Phoenix. So I'll wave to you from the 15. Thanks, Estelle. I appreciate it.
All right.
Keep listening.
Bye-bye.
Spread
Bye-bye.
The word. Okay, real quick, we can try to get one more in here. John, Mike, please. And if you're on the line, we don't get to you. We'll get to you in the next hour. I'm going to have open lines. So, Mike in Wilmington, North Carolina, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, buddy, I don't know if I can follow that, but let me do it real quickly. Thanks for taking my call. As I told your lady on the phone, I agree with about 99% of what you're saying, so let me bust you on the other 1%.
All right.
A lot of people like to make the distinction about racism being kind of a Southern thing.
Oh, no.
And as you can tell from my voice, I'm a little bit Southern myself.
Yeah.
So you got to be a little careful on that, because one of the things that you lose people down here around on is when you call all Southerners racist.
Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't do that, sir.
Yeah, did you?
You did that one.
Oh, I did it?
Yeah, you did.
I thought it was Fugelsang. He said, those racists down in the South.
No, that's not what I said. I didn't say that.
Selling me out like that, John. I can't believe it. Well,
No. I don't think Brad said it either, but let me tell you.
Maybe I said that
When Lincoln was shot and his party was taken over by the people that killed him, like Jesus.
Right.
And in the case of Lincoln, he was killed by a right-wing, conservative, white, racist Southerner.
Absolutely.
And it's fair to say that that element is certainly what took over the Republican Party during Reconstruction.
Mike, I got to get to a break, so I appreciate your call, and I'm sorry if I did that. It was an accident. Hey, John.
Never offend the South, because I'm half cracker.
There you go. Which half? hey, brother, I really appreciate having you on. John Fugelsang.com. You rock. Let's say hello next time you're back out here in Los Angeles, my friend.
Thank you, Brad. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm playing for the troops in Honduras next week, so I'll tell them hi for you.
Bless you, brother. Go get them. All right, much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us, and your calls, 877-520-1150. Hang on the line. I'll try to get to everyone.